Welcome back, everyone, to another Xamarin Show. I'm your host, James Montemagno, and with me, special guest, my good friend and friend on the show, Frank Krueger. Frank, thanks for coming out.
Thank you very much for having me. I've been looking forward to this all day.
So if you've been in the Xamarin community for a while, like I have, you have most likely at least maybe come across Frank Krueger maybe on GitHub or on Twitter, or you may be using some of his most popular libraries out there. I don't want to spoil Frank too much, so if you can, Frank, tell everyone a little bit about yourself.
Oh, okay, I guess I can try this.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Frank. I've been programming on .NET for a little bit forever. I started out actually as a web developer on .NET, but we'll let that go. I'm mostly a mobile developer now. I've been using what's now Xamarin iOS since about 2009, so I've been doing it a while. And around the same time I started that, I started contributing to open source. So that was kind of a big deal for me. That's kind of where I started out, getting things rolling.
Yeah.
But somehow I've managed to be able to stay independent. I just write iPhone apps, release them, and somehow pay the bills.
Yeah. And you've been doing, you have a lot of popular apps out. iCircuit, I think I've talked about in every single one of my presentations.
Oh, great. Thank you.
It's a circuit simulator. That's how I describe it, at least.
It's good. It's a digital and analog circuit simulator that's always running in real time. Perfect for students.
I like that one because I always have the charts and graphs of your shared code usage. And I actually use a lot of your code to do code analysis of how much code I share.
You compare it to me? Is that what you're saying?
Well, no. You have this like really cool program that you can run, and it'll do line-by-line comparison, which is like rough estimate of code share. But what I like about iCircuit is that you share like anywhere between like 70 to 90% of code doing these really crazy circuit simulations. And that's on everything. It's on Windows, phone, iOS, Android, iPad.
Yeah, I'm sure everywhere. I could get it on the Raspberry Pi if I tried.
Yeah, everywhere. it's what I've known you for, but you did some other apps like Calca, right?
Calca was the next big one. I've done a lot of little apps, but Calca was the next big one. I call it the text editor for people who love math. Because it's both a markdown editor and a symbolic math engine. So it sounds a little weird, but if you try it out and try some of the demos, it's a fun little app.
I have it on my Mac, because I don't have an iPhone or iPad. I do have an iPad, actually for your app specifically
I
have an iPad. Thanks to you, I have an iPad.
Oh, okay.
Well, I'm mostly an Android. If people know me, I'm mostly an Android developer, an Android fanboy. But I did buy an iPad Pro just for the stuff that we're going to show later in the show.
I should get some revenue from Apple.
Yeah.
Just saying.
This is for all the purchases. But you've been doing a lot of open source. And I knew you. We met 4 years ago now, I think.
Has it been that long?
Yeah, at a Xamarin like meetup, a drink-up thing. And we talked about settings and preferences.
Because we dwell on the inane, the really fun parts of programming, that's what we want to talk about.
Yeah. And we decided, so here locally, we're both based out of Seattle. We started a user group.
We did.
Seattle Mobile .NET Developers.
We see each other once a month because of that.
That's correct. It's a good way of forcing yourself to see one of your best friends every single month, start a user group together. And we also do a podcast together, too, Merge Conflict.
It's probably the best thing that we've started together. I love the meetup. We get to meet so many people. But the podcast is the one that keeps me on my toes the most.
Yeah.
Where you actually have to speak coherently for like up to a half hour. Yeah. And you actually have to think in real time. It's real tough, but I've really enjoyed it. So I hope people try that podcast out.
Yeah, we'll put it in the show notes. and also, so what's interesting is there was a tweet from you, maybe like 8-9 months ago, which was that you wanted to use your iPad Pro.
Yeah.
iPad Pro, was this an 18-inch?
It's 24 actually.
24-inch iPad Pro as your sole dedicated development experience.
That was not at all what I said, but it was close.
It was close.
It was around the time of New Year's resolutions. And so I thought everyone's making resolutions. I want to make a resolution. I was also with my family at the time, and I had just my iPad.
Gotcha.
And I enjoyed the iPad. I had lots of games for it. I had lots of markdown editors for it. I could do email, but I couldn't do what I actually love to do, which is to program. And so there are IDEs out there for the iPad, but none of them were .NET IDEs. I'm a .NET developer. Yeah.
You're C#, F# all day.
Yeah.
Right? So you want to do that. And this is an iPad Pro, right? This is This is the iPad Pro. It looks like a very...
This is the iPad Pro. We should distinguish it. Yeah, it's actually a funny little device. I have a cute little cover on it.
I have
my little pencil holder here.
I like that.
But it's really just an iPad Pro.
It's
not doing anything special. We have it plugged in because we're paranoid and we don't have good video connections.
Exactly. We need a way to actually show it on the screen a little bit later.
But it really
on.
Is a mobile device.
Okay.
Just 24 inches of mobile device.
Nice. So let's hop over to your iPad. We're going to do this entire show on your iPad.
I love this.
So let's hop over to your iPad.
Okay.
And today we're going to be talking about an app that you built.
It is.
Okay.
I totally built this app. But should we talk about anything else or should we jump right into this?
Yeah, well, yeah, let's jump right into it.
Okay.
So you had a resolution that you wanted to use your iPad Pro full time, and you built this application. I blogged about it, I've tweeted about it, I've used it. And can you tell us a little bit of your motivations there?
Yeah,
were there any other motivations besides that, or just like, this is it, I'm gonna do it?
Yeah, I had one additional motivation, and that was I wanted compilation to be really fast. I wanted to be able to build user interfaces very interactively and very quickly. I was getting a little bit frustrated with, I would make one little number change in the code, recompile the whole project, redeploy the whole project up to the device, and it's as fast as it can be, but it wasn't fast enough
for me. It's not instant, right?
Right, yeah. So I was aiming for, I want C# on my iPad, I want it to compile instantly, and I want it to run instantly.
It's that like REPL dream almost, like a REPL for the UI. And we've had designers, right? So I think to me, it's like we've had a Xamarin Forms previewer, we have a Xamarin iOS and Android designer, and those show you real-time updates to your UI, but it's not actually reacting to your code.
It doesn't have data in it. Mm-hmm. It doesn't react to your user gestures. It has no concept of time in it, so that, well, it's pretty limited. It's just a static shot of your app, every possible view that could ever be there. You can't see animations.
Yeah.
Just a lot of limitations.
Yeah, see, we want to be able to, almost like if you're developing my favorite part is you know, sometimes when I'm in a browser and I'm taking screenshots, I'll open up Chrome Tools and I'll just modify the CSS or HTML in real time.
Makes you a little jealous of web programmers, huh? A tiny bit. A
little bit. But
but there was no reason we couldn't have that in .NET. Our compilers are super fast. Tearing down and bringing up a process isn't necessarily fast, but it can be done.
Okay.
Even an iPad Pro can do it.
Yeah. So when I wanted to bring you on because I wanted to not only have you show off Continuous.
Awesome.
Which is great. It's available today on the App Store, very clearly marked on the website, which is
very clearly
continuous.codes. That looks like a very
fancy. The URL is continuous.codes.
Okay.
Weird URL, but that's his fault.
I love .codes. I have mots.codes. But continuous.codes, we'll put it in the show notes.
Thank you, thank you.
It looks like you have features, documentation.
Yeah, I'll walk through it.
And I want to also not only show some cool stuff, like actually show it off, but talk about the technology behind it.
Yeah.
Because you built this in Xamarin. Like you built entire app in Xamarin.
And even crazier, I wrote it in F#.
Oh my goodness. So F# in Xamarin, so you built this app.
Yeah, it supports two languages. We didn't just do C#.
Okay.
Since I wrote the app in F#, I just felt it would be wrong of me to release it and not support F#.
Gotcha. So I like that.
I put in the extra effort.
And we're scrolling through your features. You have rich IntelliSense, rich code completion.
Lots of
and
libraries.
This one, right here, look at this. You have libraries.
Yeah.
So what can you build on Continuous?
Right. So, well, first it starts with the languages. So technically, Turing machines, you can build anything. But aside from that, let's talk about libraries. So you get all of the normal .NET BCL, the .NET 4.5, basically.
I like that.
Yeah. So I can't think of any limitations there. Pretty much all works.
DLR, dynamic?
It should work.
It has,
there could be some bugs there.
Yeah. But you're not going to put that in an iOS app anyways.
No one writes dynamic code in .NET. And then at the same time, it ships all of Xamarin's libraries.
Oh, cool.
Which, .NET,
open source,
as you know. No, yeah. Totally not. Oh, I'm sorry, it is. Yeah,
yeah
the bindings are
open source.
I started writing this app before it was open source, so you have to pardon any mistakes I make. But yeah, so you get all of the .NET platform, plus you get all of Apple's platform, which basically contains everything else you could possibly need. It's almost doubling your opportunities to create code. It's one of the reasons I love writing for iOS. It's such a rich API set.
And I like that.
IDE gives it all to you.
Like that. And then you've added some other stuff in there too. It seems like you have Xamarin Forms, Core Lib, F# Core, System Core.
Yep, I've thrown in a few other little libraries that didn't quite make this list, but we have a little bit of support for JSON.NET, of course, a graphing library, another famous one called Math.NET Numerics.
Okay.
It's just a better numerics package for .NET.
I like that.
Yeah, I just keep trying to throw in libraries because there is the unfortunate limitation of the iPad where you can't download compiled stuff and execute it. So I have to ship all the libraries it's going to support. It doesn't support NuGet for that reason.
Makes sense.
So I just have to keep bundling as many libraries into it as I can. I always take feature requests. Let me know what libraries you want.
It seems like so you're shipping the most popular ones. Like you go to NuGet, right? And like JSON.NET, obviously, we're all using that. But you're always debugging. I think the website's fine, but I would love if you could just show us some stuff. Right, yeah.
Yeah, let's hop into it. So I'm just gonna...
Yeah. This is your iPad. Like, this is
this is
the iPad.
This is live. Let's cross our fingers. Yeah. I don't prepare well for demos, so we're just gonna jump right into this. What kind of app do you want to see? I have a few examples that come with it.
Sure.
And generally, I like to write scripts in the app. So just little apps, but it can totally support bigger ones.
So you would say when people are developing in continuous, they're going to be developing things such as a full application, a file, a script, a library. They can do a little bit of everything, right?
Yeah, technically you can do all of the above.
Okay.
I like to do scripts in it, just because it's a somewhat constrained environment. It's it's not your normal 30-inch monitor or anything like that, so I like to do scripts. But at the same time, I also like to open up libraries and work on small parts of libraries.
Gotcha.
And I can actually show how it works well for that.
Yeah, let's do it.
Oh, okay. Well, let's show one quick script
Pong.
First,
oh,
though, because I love to show my Pong example. I wrote this really late at night one time, and it's really paid off just because I think
so
it's
I can
really
come
fun
over,
to play. We can play,
I can play
two-person Pong. Oh,
okay,
you
that.
Hit it really poorly.
Perfect. Yeah, so
that was
you,
the worst hit ever.
I'm going to give you about 20 hours to get to it.
We'll take that off. So what's going on here is that as you write code, it's always compiling the code and always running the code. That's why we see Pong here actually moving. Okay. And so we could come in and actually just change some code. We'll change it to a red ball.
So you're using a little keyboard attached to your iPad.
Yeah, I have the little Apple-provided keyboard.
Looks nice.
Not provided. You have to
provided,
pay for it.
Yeah.
Apple allows us to have this keyboard.
So you got red, and now it's red.
But the net effect is the moment you change some code, it changes with you. So I can change it to a white ball.
Boom.
And so anytime that you're building an app, maybe this one's a little funny, but let's open another example. Let's just do, what's my favorite one? The tip calculator.
Oh, tip calculator. Okay, cool.
This is actually a Xamarin Forms app.
Oh, cool.
So you can just go in here, type in some, that was a very expensive dinner.
Really
high tip.
A really fancy place. I like that.
It must have been out with James or something like that. But I can always come in here and change things if I don't like them. Maybe I think that top font is a little ostentatious, so I can change it to something a little more.
Put it back to normal Helvetica.
Let's all just go, 1960s Helvetica here. Zepfino's not enough.
So you have, on your left-hand side, it looks like you have Projects, Console, Watch. And a watch is like, to me, a watch window is like I've typed in some watch commands of the elements, and maybe I can modify them. But you're also showing, this is the app, right? This is the actual app running.
App running.
Okay.
A lot of things are actually going on here.
Yeah.
The Projects tab, it's just your normal Solutions tab that you've gotten in Visual Studio and Xamarin Studio for the last 300 million years. So nothing special there. We also have a Console tab, which is...
Debug write line.
Yeah, write line. For all that write line debugging that we all do, you have
it's
a console because it's important. But the most important window is the watch window, and it actually mixes two things. It's just like a normal debugger's locals and watch window. So the locals window is like automatic watches. It just picks out some variables for you.
Okay.
The same exact thing is happening here. I'm debugging right now into this view, tip calculator view. And that's why you can see this list at the bottom.
Ah.
It's a little tree that you can dig into and find more values.
So you're like, hey, why is this padding weird? You could actually dive into the hierarchy
just
or the properties.
Just keep digging in. So as I get to this background, I don't know why it doesn't have a background color. I actually don't know Xamarin Forms that well.
But you built this amazing tip calculator.
It is amazing, isn't it? But maybe we should Maybe we should start a little more with the basics.
Yeah, maybe let's do something from scratch,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, a little from scratch. So when you hit new, it's just this little plus button. It's your standard file new dialog that you've gotten for 300 million years in IDEs.
Like an IDE, because it is an IDE. Yeah.
It totally is an IDE. It has three basic things it can handle. Single file projects, libraries, which are DLLs, our assemblies that we ship around on NuGet, and you can create apps. As we all know, there's not too big a distinction between libraries and apps, but same difference. And for each of those, we can choose F-sharp or C-sharp.
Or other. What's that mystery other?
Ooh, those are just some random files
you might
want to create. Because what's a program without data? You got to feed something into a program. So if you need to just create a text file or
something like that. You don't want to write just a markdown file.
You just need to jot, or a readme. You want to edit your readme.
Perfect.
But let's do something simple.
Let's stay in C-sharp world for me.
We're going to do C-sharp, and we're just going to create a script, just because I think this is the simplest mode for the program.
Script. And what is a script for me?
Because
I'm used to .cs,
this is a new concept.
Okay,
maybe we should back up. We totally support. We'll do a library first. But scripts are a kind of a new concept in .NET. I think it's coming a lot out of the... Well, Mono has always had a little scripting version of C-sharp.
Okay.
Then there was the ScriptCS project came out by Glenn. And then finally, Roslyn just adopted it into their own APIs, where there's this whole other mode for C-sharp called scripting mode.
Scripting mode.
And it just allows some things that aren't normally allowed. let me give an example of that.
And this is actually, I was doing some work in like Azure Functions, and it runs scripts. It doesn't
It
runs scripts. It's like
I didn't realize that. So scripts are taking over the world, huh?
It's like if I have, to me, scripts where it's this is piece of functionality that doesn't need all this, fancy stuff, right? What's this? What's going on here? What are you doing? I like how you just go and like modify all this stuff. I like to see what's going on.
I'm sorry. Okay. I'll keep you up to date. There aren't too many options in here, but the most important one is changing font size.
And
because
light mode, dark mode.
Oh yeah, I'm sorry. The second most important.
That's what I like. Now I feel comfortable.
What do you like, light mode or dark mode?
I love light mode.
Okay, we'll stick with it.
All right, if you want. To me, it's just a readability factor, but a lot of people like dark mode, so.
We had to start out in dark mode just because my website keeps showing it in dark mode.
Gotcha.
We'll stay on market here. So in normal C-sharp code, we write classes, right?
Yeah.
Like this is a class.
Yep.
And then we put methods into it.
Got like constructors, methods.
And do something awesome. And it'll return 42, because that's what all functions
Perfect.
Do. This is how we write C-sharp code.
Yeah.
And in this case, you see, we're not getting that great debugger experience that we were getting before, A, because this file is a little boring, but B, because we never created any objects, or we never gave an entry point to it. It's
gotcha.
A script, but we just declared a class. It's not like creating an object.
Gotcha. Yeah, you're not creating this as a class.
Right.
It's just, here's some code.
But at the same time, the IDE picked up on it. You notice on the left here, it says, this is a class.
Yep.
And if we dig into that, there's not much listed again. But this top option, it'll always be at the top, you can actually create a new object of that class.
Ah, okay.
And this would present all the public interfaces. So if I actually put a property on here, pardon the terrible indenting I just did there, we can fix that. Let's do...
And as you're typing, you're getting rich IntelliSense out of here, too.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. So as you make mistakes, is that a mistake? Yep. It'll do a few things. It'll underline your mistake. It'll also put this little bubble to the right, just because
I like that.
I'm super lazy and I just want to know what the error is.
Yeah.
And then when you're really into the projects and you start to really build up your list of errors, you can get the full
diagnostics.
Full ugly list of how you failed the compiler.
This is not a double, so that does not compile.
I just had a Y in there for some reason.
That's perfect. So now we have a public double
and a
method.
And it came up on the left side. We see that James came up over there. And this is, of course, executing, so I can put a value there.
Yeah.
Even more fun, this function is listed up here called do something. I can click that, and it'll evaluate that function.
Okay.
So I could even sit here and change what this function does, and it'll update.
Nice, because it's essentially recompiling and redeploying instantly.
On every keystroke, it recompiles the code,
Throws
away the old code, reloads the new stuff, starts executing it, and it knows what to execute by what you're looking at in the watch window.
And that's why we saw the Pong game. When you change the color, it actually reset the 0-0 because it's reevaluating. Yes, it's not saving state, right?
Right.
You could save state, but...
Technically, but you really run down a rabbit hole there. Yeah. You can cause a lot of problems. It's already kind of scary enough restarting the app every time on keystroke. Yeah.
So you might want to have like a default state, like, hey, I'm on the sessions page, or I'm on this, you know, if I'm building a conference app, I build a lot of conference apps because I love conference apps. Mm-hmm. So it might be like, oh, I'm on this page with this state type of thing and mock it out kind
or
of.
Or even better, what I tend to do is if I have kind of a generic view, I'll create a test version of it or a dev version of it that preloads it with all the state.
Okay. That makes sense.
You can really just consider it a part of your test. It's kind of an integration test, kind of a dev thing.
Okay.
But I do that quite often. So even this class, if I wanted a testable version of that or something to work on, what can I do? I can say, this is a class, and we get IntelliSense also, I should mention.
Powered by Roslyn?
Powered by Roslyn. A little hesitation there, but yes.
Powered by Roslyn.
Roslyn helps me. Okay. They're not perfect.
If you don't know what Roslyn is, that's our Microsoft's open source compiler
C-sharp.
As a service.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. It's actually multiple compilers. It's Visual Basic and it's C# right now. It's kind of an umbrella term for both of those compilers.
Okay.
But it's also a language service. So it's powering the coloring of everything here.
Oh.
It does my IntelliSense. It does some other snazzy things. It gives you those nice errors. So
like
Roslyn's been a great project to work
that's
with.
That's awesome, yeah. So really kind of, we're already seeing some open source components. You have the libraries that developers are creating and shipping, so you could pull in something like JSON.net, but you're seeing just like the system BCL stuff that was shipped. And is that the mono.net that's coming? Because it's open source mono, so you've essentially embedded that into continuous the libraries.
Yeah, this is Xamarin, so in essence, mono.
Yeah.
But at the same time, the mono project's been taking in a lot of code from all .NET. The open sourced work from .NET.
Just the runtime, right?
Honestly, it's all blending together. Yeah. In my head, I don't know which parts are mono and which aren't anymore, but.
And I think that's the idea that they have, Miguel and Tim.
We're finally merging all this .NET stuff into one thing where it kind of doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's .NET, it runs.
It runs.
So what I was trying to show here, maybe a little poorly, is that I can, in a test version, just start overriding state. So what did I set that to? 2023. So if I go back and say, new up this class, we see that other field is 23. But my test version of it, of course, is this much larger number. But what this frees me to do is work on the this is a class version, not the test version, and just use the test version to load up all the state that I need to make that experience.
And it looks like you're actually showing some actual C# 6 features too, right? So you're using this little arrow that we have,
fancy arrow.
Lambda arrow, which is some property
expressions, I believe it's called. Yeah, they got method expressions and property expressions. The nice benefit of using Roslyn is that I get all these basically for free.
Very cool. Yeah. So when C# 7 comes out, I expect that you'd...
In fact, I'm trying to do... You're not supposed to announce features, but I'm really trying to get some C# 7 features in there because there is a branch of Roslyn that has a lot of those features.
Yeah, because it's not out yet.
It's not out, but we have the source code to them.
To it,
you might as well jump on that ship early.
Very cool. So is this how you would create a script then? Your script classes with these classes and things like that? Or
no,
how would you normally
the benefit of a script is you actually don't have to deal with any of that. Let's just... Oh, good. My Apple Pencil battery's almost low. That's good to know. When I do a script, I actually do it more like what you think of a bash script. So the fun thing here is you can just declare variables. You don't actually have to create classes or anything. We see that I created a variable called x. It has a value of 23. Mm-hmm. Shows up on the left, just like you would expect.
You could use some string interpolation to output it, maybe, in the console?
Oh, absolutely. But let's do it even a little weirder.
Oh, okay, let's do
Let's put it right into a variable, just for fun, if I can remember the syntax.
Yeah.
I write in F# a lot.
Yeah, I like that.
But check that out. So we got y equals x equals 23. Very confusing, bad example. And we can even dig into that, which is kind of pointless because it's just a string.
Yeah.
But we get those C# 6 features. One other funny feature that I love to take advantage of, but it's available
all the
time.
Detaching it from the keyboard,
I just detached it, so we got the virtual keyboard up.
Okay.
In general, the virtual keyboard's kind of a pain.
Because it's half your screen, right?
It takes up half your screen. The keyboard's actually pretty okay to use. I've gotten a little bit used to it, but the half the screen starts to hurt after a while.
Yeah, that makes
sense. So I totally recommend getting an external keyboard for it. But at the same time, there are some fun features of using the virtual keyboards.
Oh, what are you doing right there?
So you can...
I can describe it.
This is a pro tip for iOS users. A lot of people don't seem to know this, but you can use your two little fingers, or if you have an iPhone with pressure sensitive, what do they call that? 3D touch?
3D touch.
Yeah. Well, anyway, two fingers on an iPad, you put your two fingers together, start dragging around, and you can move the cursor.
And
in the case of the app, it also works like your tooltips.
So
when I hover
cool.
over this X, it says X is an int. If I go back to this Y here, it says Y is a string. So I just want to point out that the virtual keyboard, while annoying, can actually have some benefits.
And it's kind of like just it turns it into a mouse, essentially.
Yeah, it feels pretty good. You can't get out of this window, though, unfortunately. Yeah. I keep trying, but Apple won't let it.
And what is this thing on top? So you have this keyboard and you have this row stuff. Is that built in, or did you do that?
I did that. This is they call these keyboard accessories on iOS, and it's just all your most commonly used funny characters that never show up on the default keyboard in iOS.
I'm always like shifting and doing
shift, and you hit this button, and then you're actually the iPad Pro keyboard's pretty good, but the phone keyboard, yes, this works on the phone.
So you have like an iPhone limited. 7 Plus or 6 Plus, right?
It's actually fun. Now. When I was preparing for this presentation now, I was actually doing it all on my phone because I actually just like to sit there with my thumbs and write little bits of code. Maybe I'm a weirdo, but it's good for me. So these are just your common keys. You can just hit them anytime you want.
Do whatever you need.
Yeah, they're just there to help you out.
That's nifty.
Give you a break.
Yeah, I like that. Cool. So this is a console. So does it actually update the console then too?
Oh yeah, of course. The console's
been
accumulating, but let's start over. Okay. Now, like I said, it does run every time you edit the code, but of course you can run it yourself anytime. You just hit this play button.
Just like your normal debug button, it just runs it. Okay, cool.
Oh, by the way, that two-finger trick also works if you just put your fingers right onto the screen.
Oh, nice.
So you don't actually have to detach the keyboard.
That's nice. That's a pro move.
Pro. So I edited the code, so it reran it, and I can rerun it as much as I want.
Very cool. And this is your normal script. If I was... I could ship this, I could run that anywhere, and it's a script of code.
It'll run on Windows or Mac as long as Mono or .NET are installed. There is the one more serious option, and the one that I actually use when I'm using this professionally, is I actually create proper libraries when it wants to behave itself. And I actually support three kinds of libraries, straight.NET libraries, portable libraries, because you and I love portable libraries, iOS libraries, and the code is working. Shared libraries are coming next.
Very cool.
Turns out I use a lot of shared project libraries, and I really needed to support them. But we'll create, iOS library, just because that's smart.
Okay.
You get a few more advanced options, because libraries are way more complicated. We'll just call this demo 111, because that's fun. We can even, it has all your standard options.
Create project folder.
Create projects. We can even add it to a solution. We can rename that solution.
I like the little thumbs ups that you got.
The
little
thumbs
emojis.
Up is if you do a bad job with your names. I'm trying to think if your name collides.
It can't be blank. That's kind
of fun. No blank names.
Very nice.
It's a little sad face. I hope that comes out in the video.
Yeah.
It's a really important feature. What did we call this thing? That.
Demo 101. Perfect. Good name.
And then it's going to create these three files down here. So let's just do it. It actually opens as a branch. By default, this is a little unlike your normal IDEs. It doesn't close old projects. It just leaves them.
Just leaves them.
Whatever. Get over it, people. You can handle multiple projects.
So, and that's kind of nice because if you, in a normal, I'm thinking when I'm sitting at home, I have like two or three monitors set up.
Yes.
I have multiple Visual Studios or Xamarin Studios open. But you're on an iPad, so you can't have multiple.
Right.
You can have multiple apps running, but you're not going to have multiple instances of the same app running, right?
Exactly. Yeah you don't really... You're actually giving me an idea. I could have continuous 1, 2, 3, so you could put them side by side.
But not a terrible idea.
Let's not talk about that. But with projects, these are exactly what you would expect out of .NET. So I give
references.
You a default my class, which is always pointless and dumb.
Yep. Always delete that file immediately.
Exactly.
Yeah. But here we go.
Yeah. And we have references. So I was mentioning I bundle a few libraries in here. So I said we had the numerics. Which one did I miss? We have JSON.NET. We have OxyPlot for doing some nice fancy plots if you want. Those are the important. Oh, and Xamarin Forms.
Xamarin Forms.
Very important.
Cool.
Gotta enjoy that. So we can dig in, and we have the same basic interface. We can go to our watch window. We can new up our class if I actually make this thing like a UI view.
Mm. So you're actually going to, let's create like maybe a custom control of something or something like that, right?
Sure. That sounds fun. I'll see what I can do here. We can create constructors, and I'll even set the background color. What color do you like?
Purple.
Is there a purple? Oh, there is a purple.
You get purple.
Yeah, okay. So we get a
and
nice.
It actually tells you what it would be 0.50, 0.51.
Yes, excuse me. The important thing with the IntelliSense is that I actually try to put the summary of every API in there. So this comes with something like 50,000 API summaries.
Yeah.
I mean, .NET is huge, Xamarin is huge,
yeah.
and this bundles them all together.
The iOS is huge.
So just my docs database is actually like 20 or 30 megabytes.
That's good, though.
This like little SQLite database, but.
and since you've marked this class, now this is because you created a class, and that could just be a library, but
this
you decide a control. So this is a view, mm-hmm. and since it's a view, it knows to show the view.
Yeah,
right?
it's got a few little tricks up its sleeve. Whenever it detects a Xamarin Forms view, iOS view, a few other things, it knows to visualize those. I think images. I'm always trying to add more visualizers, as we just call them.
Yeah, visualizers. Cool.
Yeah, so always trying to add more of those.
Like
so this is a fun little one. Let's override an interactive function, because I think that's where this thing actually starts to shine. And I'm going to override touches moved. And this is a very weird function. You'll have to pardon me for a second, because I have to do some ugly coding here. iOS isn't always pretty, but unfortunately, I know it better than I know Xamarin Forms. So first thing I'm going to do is convert this puppy
to
an array.
Using link, so you got full link support.
Oh, yeah. We extension methods, all that stuff works just dandy. I'm going to give myself some space here and get it back up on the screen.
A little bit
we don't quite need that, do we?
Perfect. That looks
good. Okay. Yeah. Well,
since it's full screen for everyone, you should be able to read that. That looks good. All right, cool.
All right, that's cool. So we got some touches. I'm
going to
actually pull out a touch from that array. This whole array thing is just because the binding is a little funny for NS sets.
Sure.
But I'm going to pull out a touch. And now what we can do is move the little mouse here, and we see that touch is, in fact, a UI touch. We can see T's are UI touch array. So you can still always get your tooltip in IntelliSense anytime that you want. And now I'm going to calculate the location of that touch.
Okay.
In that view, so there's
I just like watching you touch, because like literally it's like, listen, you haven't finished this yet, there is no block, it's filling in the point, now look, it's like a CG point, it's you're going to pass it a view of this.
And it's fully documented.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah. I really hope people take this app as an opportunity to explore APIs too.
Yeah.
I made this joke that I was an iOS developer before I was a Xamarin developer, and it was only when I became a Xamarin developer and had IntelliSense that I actually learned the Cocoa API.
Gotcha. That makes sense. Yeah.
So it's more
the best
fun
way
to
explore it. Yeah.
And then what are we going to do? We're going to do some console debugging here.
Okay.
And I'm just going to print this out to the console, the location. So that's it. Whenever I move my finger now, if you look at the very
top,
that's showing the last line of the console. I can always come to the console, but right now
there.
I can't put them side by side.
Okay.
But what I can do is see that as I move my finger, I'm totally updating those points.
In real time, yeah.
Do we have time for a little bit more here?
Yeah. Can we?
So let's override the drawing function, actually. Because whenever I do a custom control, I almost always end up doing my own rendering.
Yeah, you got to draw something.
I'm a graphics person. I just really enjoy it. It's half the reason I do app development is so I can draw pictures.
So you're bringing in more iOS APIs.
More iOS.
Okay,
we used Foundation because we had NSSet. It's kind of this low-level class. Hopefully you don't have to touch Foundation very often.
Yeah, but it's there.
We brought in Core Graphics because we're going to do some custom rendering now.
Cool.
And you almost always need it for that. The first thing I'm going to do, we have to get a context, a tiny bit more ugly iOS code.
Just iOS development,
just normal iOS stuff. Deal with it.
Yeah, we're going to essentially say, this is my current context. I'm going to draw to that. I've done this before, so I know. I'm drawing to that context, and then I'm going to set that context.
In WinForms world, this was the graphics object.
Yeah, the graphics object.
Yeah, we need one of those, too. So I'm going to call very simply this fillrect function and fill in the part that I'm supposed to fill in. It turned black. Why did it turn black? Because the default color is in fact black. But we can fix that. We can just say, we can just set color back to purple. And now we get our purple back. Set color is the important thing. It's contextual.
So contextual.
I called set color. What you can say is set fill also.
Oh, okay.
So you can set stroke or set fill. When you say set color, it sets both stroke and fill.
Cool.
Yeah. So let's go back to just color though. And then I'm going to draw one more thing, just another little circle or something like that. We'll make it a contrasting color.
There you go.
And I'm going to fill rect. No, I want to do an ellipse in the rect. And I'm going to give some new points. Ugly, ugly, ugly.
I'm going to create a default rectangle of 100, 100 at 0,
I'm just
going
to put it there. So there, we got it. But the fun thing here is I can just interactively write drawing code, and it updates pretty much as fast as possible. So I can switch it to yellow, which I can spell correctly, and it'll turn yellow.
Can you do something? I already know where this is going. Can we move, like, because you're drawing this, and and what thread is it all, does the draw always happen on the UI thread? Or?
So when you write a script,
yeah.
Continuous will try to run it in a background thread.
Okay.
Because that's safer. If the background thread crashes, the IDE can keep running.
Yeah.
The dangerous mode here is that Continuous is running its own stuff. This is like Visual Studio running it all within its own process.
Yeah.
If you crash your process, you can crash the IDE.
Okay.
So the background threads normally, but when you do UI stuff, it is running on the UI thread.
So can we move this ball around? Because we have the touch event. Can we move it around?
Yeah, we got a touch event. We got some drawing code. Mm-hmm. Now we just have to paste them together. I'm just going to have a little private location.
Yeah, I got to save the current location now.
Yeah, so location of ball.
Perfect.
Sure. And look, you even get warnings all the time.
Okay.
So it's like, hey man, you haven't used that thing. You should really use it. Then I have to remember the CG rect variations. But I think it's something like this one can be the location of ball. And this one can be a new CG size, something like that.
Oh, so that way you can just pass it the point instead of the X and Y.
Exactly. Cool. And then it disappeared for some unknown reason. Let's actually new this puppy up. Let's put it somewhere else. Put it more in the middle of the screen.
Cool.
Yeah. We're close.
We're close. Cool.
Ready for this?
Yeah, I'm ready.
All we got to do is assign location of ball to the location.
Oh, cool.
Yep. I'm going to take away our debug line just because it's dumb. And then I'm going to call the very important function setNeedsDisplay. And that tells the view to redraw itself.
Yeah.
So once I do that, do all this stuff,
Whoa.
I have a ball that can trace my finger.
Very cool.
So this is why I wrote the app. This is the real reason, because I found that I wasn't spending enough time on custom controls.
Yeah.
I wanted to do more fun interactive things, but the slowness was killing me. So now
testing animations, doing touch events, things like that. Very cool. That's
so now you can actually start building some really fun UIs pretty interactively.
That's pretty cool. And then, so we mentioned that so people can buy this today, right? So it's a paid app. It's $9.99, I think, right?
Yep,
US,
exactly.
You know, wherever you're living.
Maybe it's around $10.
Around $10. It's pretty cool. You spent a lot of time building this.
Six-month project.
six-month project. And you're actively developing upon it. And we talked about you were using some Roslyn stuff, and you have a bunch of other libraries.
Yeah.
So are you able to show kind of some of your GitHub where people can kind of find you specifically, right? So you have Continuous Codes is that.
We could start here. This is my scary picture, as James calls it. I apologize.
He's like leaning a little bit forward.
I'm like, not that intimidating, actually. Yeah. If I knew where that picture was coming from, I would change it. I guess I'm not contributing as much as I used to. Look at my graph down there. That's
still pretty good.
Well, May of something was pretty a good time. But I have the first open source library I ever created was SQLite-net, and it's still my... I think the one I'm most popular for.
You just released a new version based off of, if you haven't used SQLite, that's a relational database, and yours gives an ORM on top of SQLite.
Yeah, it's a very light ORM. Mm-hmm. You can just write very plain C# objects, tell it to store it in the database, and it'll mostly figure out what to do correctly. Okay. And it'll even do migrations of tables. So people have just enjoyed its convenience. Plus, it has a link component to
it. Yeah, an async component too. And a PCL version.
And it's PCL'd. Yeah. It runs everywhere because iCircuit ran everywhere and iCircuit needed it.
Yeah.
But I have a few other fun projects. NGraphics is actually the library I use to draw all the icons in Continuous. So NGraphics, so like the little folder icon and the plus.
Oh,
there aren't
cool.
actually too many icons in this, but everything's being rendered by NGraphics.
Oh,
even that
cool.
gear. I even wrote the code for that gear.
Oh, very cool. It's like a vector.
It's a cross-platform vector graphics library.
Yeah, we should have you back just to talk about that
cool.
building. So we'll do that.
That sounds
cool.
fun.
Yep.
Yeah, so I just have a bunch of those things. But what I really ended up doing to get this puppy to work.
The Roslyn, quote.
Yeah, I had to port Roslyn,
okay.
which wasn't actually that much work because pretty much everything in .NET works on Xamarin,
mm-hmm.
except for anything that touches COM. Remember COM, Windows
I remember COM. Yeah.
Turns out there's still a few bits of .NET that still make reference to COM, and it's quite annoying, especially when you're on iOS.
Yeah.
And so I had to patch up a few things. So if you're ever interested, you can go to preclarum/Roslyn. I do have active pull requests for this, but
cool.
I'm having a hard time getting it fully up and into the master. But someday, hopefully, Roslyn will compile straight onto Xamarin.
That'd be cool.
Then at the same time, I mentioned we've been very light on it, but it supports F# pretty much just as well as we saw.
Can we show
C#?
It? Can you show something real quick? Because I have I always love watching F#. I have no idea whatever's happening. But I love it. And
what did I just do?
And
you have pretty much the same support here too. Libraries, mm-hmm. apps, everything. Everything can
be. Oh, very cool.
But we'll start with a script because scripts are fun. This one takes a second or more to boot up. Come on, puppy. Be good.
There we go. Cool. So this is now powered by the F# compiler.
This is not Roslyn. We haven't gotten F# into Roslyn yet.
You ported.
This one was
too.
A lot more work.
Okay.
I ported what's referred to as the F# compiler service. I actually did this twice. First, I ported the F# compiler.
Okay.
And then in the middle of that, or at the end of it, I'd finished the work. I realized I'd ported the wrong library. Because the compiler doesn't give you some of the features you want in an editor, like code coloring, code completion, stuff.
This one does.
Stuff you need. So I had to port F# twice. That was a lot of fun. But it was totally worth it because just like before, we can create some variables here.
Well,
it's a little bit slower, unfortunately.
No semicolon. I'm scared.
No semicolon because this is a beautiful world. We can actually create data very easily. So let's make a little list of something. And then we can process that data. So more data.
Gray variable names. Indentation.
Indentation is very important. We see more data right now is just data. That's pretty boring. But we can pipe that into a function. And we can manipulate that data and say, maybe we want X plus 1,000.
So you've never seen F#. This is what you're experiencing. This is like, I'm always getting confused with your
there are a few more symbols in F#.
Yeah.
But it's this is called the pipeline operator, this little triangle. I don't know what you want to call it.
The pipe.
But it's a pipe.
It's
a pipe with an arrow, because in F# they actually allow you to pipe from both directions.
Ah.
This is a pipe like in Bash or in command line in Windows, where you execute one program, take its output, and send it as the input to the next program.
Gotcha.
That's exactly what I'm doing. I'm taking this data and sending it to the next program. What's the next program? It's this function that increases the number by 1,000.
Yeah, to me, and see, like in my mind, I'm C#ifying this, so I'm taking my array, and then I would do like a
select.
I would two array it to return it back.
Right, the
but
big difference is Link has something like, I don't know, 5 or 6 of those functions.
Yeah.
Whereas F# has all the data processing you could ever possibly need or want, even.
Gotcha.
So F# is an amazing data language. And at the same time, I have all the comments, too,
even for
the F# code.
Very cool.
And of course, you can write data processing code and GUIs at the same time, because I built my app in F#. It's a GUI. And so I had to support all that same GUI work that we did in C#. That works with F#, too.
Very cool. All right, awesome. So continuous.codes, we'll put it in the show notes. Check out Frank's GitHub. I mean, this is pretty like just a great wealth of knowledge too. Follow Frank on Twitter.
I don't think you'll get a wealth of knowledge there. Sometimes I have good
once
retweets.
In a while. Okay. Good retweets, yeah.
You have to tolerate me too, though.
Well, Frank, thank you so much for coming on. And this has been The Xamarin Show. And until next week.